In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we begin a new season in our liturgical year, the season after Pentecost. And it really is more of a system of numbering Sundays than a distinct season with its distinctive themes, a season like Advent or Eastertide. But nonetheless, the season after Pentecost does have a broad, overarching general theme. It is a season that stretches from today until the beginning of Advent in November, and this season reflects on how we are called to live as followers of Jesus. In these weeks, we are called to live as disciples of Jesus. We're called to do God's work, the work of building God's kingdom here on earth, making God's reign a reality in this time, in this place. This season after Pentecost always begins with our celebration of Trinity Sunday. And this is an unusual Sunday in our calendar. It is not dedicated to an event in the life of Jesus. Rather, it is a day dedicated to a doctrine. A doctrine that we rightly call a mystery, one beyond our comprehension. The mystery that God is one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perhaps Trinity Sunday may seem like an erudite exercise in obscure theological thought, but it actually expresses a reality that's central to our faith and to our lives. The articulation of the doctrine of the Trinity is rooted in the debates of the early church as to the nature of Jesus. These debates focused on several important questions. Is Jesus divine or human, or fully divine and fully human? What is the relationship between the Father and the Son? Is the Holy Spirit God? Wrestling with these questions led to the articulation of the doctrine that we celebrate today. And the Church came to affirm that God is one God, revealed in three persons, all fully God. God is not created, but creative, the author of everything that is, the maker of the entire creation. The Son, therefore, is not created, but is begotten of the Father, and is of the same substance as the Father. And the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father through the Son. The articulation of this doctrine has its roots in the revelation of God found in Scripture. The early church sought to understand the nature of God by interpreting the Bible. In passages such as the account of the baptism of Jesus, God is revealed as the Father, represented from that as that voice from heaven, and as the Son, revealed in Jesus, the Beloved One, the One who puts on human flesh, and also revealed as the Holy Spirit, seen as the dove in that account, the dove that descends and rests upon the Beloved Son. Throughout Scripture, if we look for it, we can find the Trinity revealed. Our lessons this morning reveal God to us as Father, as Son, and as Holy Spirit. In our epistle from the letter of Paul to the Romans, this is expressed where Paul says that God is Trinity of persons. Paul writes, "When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Paul writes in that passage of the revelation of the Trinity, of the three persons of our Godhead. And we read today in our Gospel, from the Gospel according to John, and throughout John's Gospel, Jesus is revealed as the eternal Word of God, the Word present at the creation of all things. Jesus is revealed as the One who puts on human flesh and dwells among us. Throughout this Gospel, Jesus teaches how He and the Father are one, how He has come from the Father and returns to the Father, how he knows the Father and reveals the mind and the teaching of the Father. Jesus teaches us the Holy Spirit is sent to his followers in order to lead and to teach them, to bring them into all truth. The Spirit is the presence of Jesus with his followers after he leaves them. In our passage today from John's Gospel, Jesus teaches Nicodemus the importance of being born of water and the Spirit. Jesus says in that very familiar passage, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." This passage reminds us that it is through baptism that we share in the very life and the nature of the Trinity. Since the earliest days of the Church, baptism has been administered in the name of the Trinity. We are baptized into the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Through the waters of baptism, we are brought into the life of the Trinity, incorporated into the community of love that is God. We are brought into the household of God, into a relationship with God that will not end, not even when we die. Through baptism, we belong to God forever. This baptismal call is a way of life. It's rooted in the divine life and nature of the Trinity. And this is a life of sharing in God's work of creating and caring for all creatures. It's a life in which we serve others as Jesus did, not for our personal gain, but for self-giving love. It's a life following the call of God that breathes within us. A life using the gifts given by the Spirit of God, given to each of us for the work of ministry to which each is called. We are called to be disciples. Disciples who invite others into this life of discipleship. We are sent out into the world with the power and the love of the Trinity, called to bind the Trinity to ourselves, to our being, allowing God to lay claim over us, trusting that God is with us in all things, even to the end of the age. As disciples, we are to make known the love of God revealed in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the love into which, through baptism, we share. Trinity Sunday calls us to stake our very lives on the power of God to overcome the evil, the sin, the death of this world. We are called into deep relationship with God, to participation in the community of love that is the Trinity's life. God is revealed in the Trinity as a community of love, and love binds the persons of the Trinity, uniting them in unity, and then overflows their life and fills us. God's very nature is love. Love is more than simply an attribute of God. Scripture tells us that God is love. God is the one who loves, and God is the beloved, the one who is loved, and God is love poured out on all creation. The love of God is not static, but it flows outward from the community of the Trinity, and humanity, created in the likeness and the image of God, is the object of God's love. The love of God flows from the Trinity towards us, inviting us to participate in the life of the Trinity. Here in front of the lectern is an icon, and it's a 15th century icon by Andrei Rublev, which depicts the Trinity as three angels, evoking the visit of the three divine strangers to Abraham we find in the book of Genesis. These three come to Abraham and share a meal with him. And so in the icon, we see the three are seated at a table on which is placed food. And if you notice, there's a space in the front of this scene. There is room in this scene for the viewer to take their place at the table. The community of love that is the Trinity is open. It invites our participation as beloved creatures of our triune God. God, the Holy Trinity, keeps a place at the holy table of divine love for each one of us. Trinity Sunday reminds us that God revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a community of love, a community who loves all of creation. Made in the image and likeness of God, we too are created to love. The Trinity embraces us in God's love, invites us into God's community of love, so that we may participate fully in the divine life of God, God the Trinity, by loving all in God's name. While Trinity Sunday can seem a dry theological exercise, the Trinity is indeed a mystery beyond our comprehension. And our attempts to articulate the doctrine of one God in three persons can only go so far. The reality is we are creatures of the Creator. We are finite beings. We possess limited human language that we try to use to express the eternal majesty of the ineffable God. There's no way our words can adequately or fully describe God, and at best our metaphor. With our limited comprehension and our limited ability for expression, I think the ultimate call of this Sunday, of Trinity Sunday, is to embrace the inexorable mystery of the Trinity by worshiping God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In our first lesson today, the prophet Isaiah is granted a vision of God sitting on a throne high and lofty, so immense the hem of the Lord's robe fills the temple. God is attended by seraphs who say the words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." These words likely sound familiar to us. We just recited them this morning in the canticle, the Te Deum. They are the same words that we say or sing at every Eucharist as we come into the presence of God revealed in signs of bread and wine, of God present with us on the altar at every celebration of the Eucharist. In his vision, Isaiah experiences a profound and a frightening moment. The house shakes, it fills with smoke. Isaiah worries if he will live having seen God. Yet Isaiah, in his human frailty, is indeed allowed this vision of God and lives. Then a seraph takes a hot burning coal from the altar and touches Isaiah's lips, telling him now his guilt and sin have departed. His lips have been purified. After he is made clean, God asks, "Whom shall I send?" And Isaiah answers, "Here am I, send me." From this revelation of God, Isaiah is commissioned as God's prophet, the one sent by God to speak the word of God to God's people. Just like Isaiah, God is revealed to us. God makes us worthy and invites us to share in God's life of love, and sends us forth to do God's work in the world. Through baptism, we are called to die to our old life of sin, to the life of death, and rise to the life of new life, life given us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Through baptism, we too are made worthy to stand before God, able to behold God's glorious majesty and live. God creates us, God redeems us, and God empowers us for the divine life we are meant to share with the Trinity. And so our most fitting response on this Trinity Sunday and always is to find ourselves exactly where the doctrine of the Trinity first began, rooted in Scripture and in worship of God. While God is revealed in the Word of Holy Scripture, human language can never adequately express the reality of God. And so in response, let us come before the throne of grace in loving adoration, worshiping our God who creates and sustains us in love, worshiping our God who puts on human flesh in the person of Jesus, suffering death upon the cross for our redemption, and through his resurrection sets us free from the bondage of sin and death. And let us worship God who comes among us as the Holy Spirit, a mighty wind and a still small voice. The Spirit as close as our breath. The Spirit who gives us the words to pray and to say and shows us the way to follow. Let us always confess the true faith we have received, acknowledging the eternal glory of the Trinity and worshiping the divine unity, the divine majesty of God. May God, the Holy Trinity, keep us steadfast in this faith until we come at the last to worship at God's throne in glory with all the saints and angels. May we in all things, at all times, in all places, worship God, God who is a community of love, revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever, without end. Amen.